We all know that Taylor Swift loves a good Easter egg. She loves a good hint. Sometimes it's hidden in plain sight and it's so obvious, but sometimes it goes back to that inside joke kind of thing. You have to know the lore. It's like, well, remember that time that she did this at 12:30 p.m. on a Tuesday? So such random things, but she does such a good job where she's made it so everyone is with a fine-tooth comb going through every single thing she does.
Welcome to The Digital Dreamer, where we believe it's possible to escape the suffocating 9-to-5, achieve financial independence, have the freedom to do the things you love, and contribute to the greater good, all by being smart about digital marketing.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Digital Dreamer podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Kim.
Today, we are going to talk about marketing lessons we can learn from Taylor Swift. And I am really excited about this because obviously marketing social media is my job, but I'm also a huge Swiftie.
And you've spent a big part of the last 12 months making Taylor Swift related content.
Yes, I have. So I feel like I have a good take on this.
And just to give you an idea of what's coming up next, in our next episode, we are going to talk about the Super Bowl and some of the Taylor Swift related things that Abby got some national media exposure on.
Yes, that was really exciting and so crazy. I mean, I'm just out here living my life posting Taylor Swift content because that's what I like to do. And all of a sudden, I have all of these news outlets reaching out to me. I was like, what is going on? But it was very exciting.
And so it made it for a very exciting Super Bowl. And we'll talk more about that next time. But I'm excited to dig into marketing lessons we can learn from Taylor Swift, because that woman is a genius.
Yes. In Taylor's own words, we might call her a mastermind. First up, I think the first lesson we can learn from Taylor Swift is that she is vulnerable and she makes her audience feel seen and heard. So we know, obviously, the songs she writes are about her own life and her own experiences, but she writes in a way that her audience can see themselves in the music and relate Taylor's experiences to their own life experiences.
And that just makes sound marketing sense for whether you're a personal brand or a business brand. You want to make sure that when you're speaking to your audience, that what you're saying reflects that you actually have been listening to them. You understand them. You know their pain points. So I think that that is just a great lesson for us all to remember, because that's kind of the beginning of messaging, is understanding your audience and understanding what their concerns and their pains are and what their desires are.
Another one is that she isn't afraid to switch things up and try something new. So we all know she most notably started as a country singer, and then she transitioned into pop music, which I think shocked a lot of people when she first did it. But then since then, she's also played around a lot with the indie music and alternative sound. So she's not afraid to change things up when things aren't working for her anymore. And her audience follows her through all of these endeavors because they've grown to love her, not just her music. It started out as being just about her music, but now it's about her too. So her fan base will follow her through anything she decides to do.
And I think that there's two marketing lessons in this one. One is the power of focus. She was not being a country artist at the same time she was doing pop. It was a transition. Like, she wasn't all over the place trying to be all the things. Her audience grew up with her. And Her audience has been willing to go with her through all these different phases, all her eras where she has reinvented herself. And then my other point on this one is that it's always important to have a plan. It's always important to, again, have focus and have a little bit of a strategy for how you're going to get from point A to point B. But that also doesn't mean that you should be so rigid and so locked into that plan that when you realize things aren't working, that you're like, oh no, this is what I said I'm going to do. I'm locked into this for life. You're never locked into anything for life. Give something enough time to allow it to work, But then if it doesn't work, just brush it off and move on, knowing that you have the power to be anything you want to be.
Well, and I also love that with each album, she creates a new era. And these eras are so specific, just in vibe, in sound. They're so specific to the point where her fans can see, like, even just an emoji or something and be like, oh, that's so Red era. Like, because she's gotten so specific with each of these eras that she's created. And so I think that thinking of your content creation and your personal brand in terms of eras can be really helpful as well. Instead of being like, oh, I have to niche down so hard and I can't ever change what I'm doing. Okay, what if we think about it like, okay, what is this current era that I'm in for my content creation journey? Like for me, I was just in my Swiftie Super Bowl era, and all of my followers knew that. They knew to be expecting the Swiftie Super Bowl era content from me. So now I'm about to move on to my next era. We will see what that is. But I think maybe just taking that from Taylor Swift and thinking about when it comes to your content creation and your social media, what era are you currently in? And how you can make it super specific and exciting and have all of your followers be like, oh yeah, I'm so excited that we're in this era together. For me, when I was in my Swiftie Super Bowl content creation era, it started out as just me posting about, okay guys, like what are the vibes for the Swiftie Super Bowl? And then people started commenting to me, okay, I think these are the vibes. And so then I started putting things together based on what everyone was telling me and what I was thinking. So we were kind of all in it together, which I think is another one of the things that Taylor does, is she makes you feel so included in it. And so I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but thinking about your content creation in the way that Taylor thinks about her albums and her music and eras, I think is a really interesting thing to try out.
Well, and I think another point here related to this is your audience knew what era you were in, which I think is a really fun way to think about it for marketing. What era are we in? You're like, that's a way more fun way to think of your marketing plan, isn't it? But anyway, more people knew what era you were in. And so the minute you posted that video after the Chiefs won the playoffs, you had comments on those reels saying, I knew that you would be posting about this. This was the first place I ran to see after the Chiefs won. And so that to me shows that your content is really in alignment with your audience and their expectations, which is all part of just carrying your audience along with wherever you're going and making them feel included, like they're part of it.
Right. And with the Swiftie Super Bowl stuff, I wasn't just randomly all of a sudden creating Chiefs and Taylor Swift content. Like those are two things people know that I post about anyway, but I think the point of the era is like having it be an era is everybody who follows me is like, all right, let's settle in. We know for a solid 2 weeks it's Swiftie Super Bowl time. We know that they know that they're going to get a ton of that content from me, and they're not really expecting me to be posting like, here's a tour of my house for no reason. They know exactly what they're in for, and they're excited about it because we got them riled up. We got them really excited. So yeah, I'm really loving this. Like the idea of thinking of your content creation in terms of eras.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a really cool way to think of it. And it forces you to focus. So thinking about even Taylor's new album that she announced at the Grammys, again, you can tell by the title of that album that it's going to be tightly focused. And now her audience, we all have enough notice, I think, that probably ties in with your next one, but just, you know, as far as she's taking the audience with her.
The next one is that Taylor makes her audience feel like she is talking directly to them, even in a massive stadium. I think that Taylor does a really great job of this. When I went to go see her at the Eras Tour, she has this way of when she's talking to the audience on stage, you literally feel like you are in a small room with her and she is talking directly to you. I don't know how she does it, but she makes it so personal and you know that she cares and that she's talking to you, and it's very authentic. This comes across, I think, in her videos on social media as well, or when she comments on her fans' TikToks, you can tell like, oh, that's Taylor actually watching my TikTok and commenting on it. She doesn't have her social media manager doing this. She's actively watching our videos and she makes you feel connected. She makes it feel personal and she makes you know that she cares about you.
And I think that that is definitely something that we all can improve on from a marketing standpoint in terms of our copywriting, or even when we're podcasting. We don't always do a great job at this either, but when we're talking to you, our audience, we should be talking to a single person, not, hey, you guys, or when you start a live, hey, everyone, because this is a very personal, podcasting is a very personal medium. It's one-to-one. We are in your earbuds, most likely, or in your car, in your home, and it's personal. And so we should be talking to you as a you, not a, hey, you guys. And the same goes for email copy and Instagram copy. Thinking about, I mean, this is just a classic rule of copywriting, is to think about one person, your ideal target persona, thinking about one person, coming up with really understanding that person, everything that she likes and dislikes, her needs, her wants, her desires. And then, and we've all encountered, I think, at some point, some sort of an ad that pops into our feed where you're like, oh my gosh, how do they know this? How do they know I have this problem right now? And it does feel like those are the ones that we should be striving to as marketers, to be like, where somebody comes across our content and feels like we are talking directly to them because it's so specific and just touches on those really personal, deep feelings that we all have.
And I think another way to do this, to make people feel like you're talking directly to them or make it feel very personal, is taking the time to respond to comments and make it clear that you're actively reading the comment. You took the time to think about what they were saying and you wrote a nice, thoughtful response, not just heart, smiley face. Like you say something back. You ask them a follow-up question. You take the time. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I just don't have time to do any of this. I like to just, when I think about it, set a timer for 20 minutes, go to my comments tab on Instagram, and then just look through the comments that I haven't responded to and take some time and just respond. I think you can also do this with DM requests. If people are sending you DM requests because you don't follow them and so it goes into your folder, taking the time sometimes to actually respond to people's questions, have a conversation with them in DMs, make sure that they know that you do care that they're here.
And this is one of the reasons why I still have a problem with tools like ManyChat, where it's an automated system where, for people who don't know what ManyChat is, it might be like, well, let's say Abby with the Taylor Swift things, let's say people wanted to download her bingo cards and she said, comment the keyword bingo to receive this bingo card. And so then they would comment bingo, there would be an automation, the bingo card or a link would show up in your DMs. And then a lot of times what people do from there, that's all automated. But then a lot of times, did you know you can program in, I don't even know how many, it's a lot of responses. So if people comment on your thread, you can set up a whole variety of responses that all sound slightly different. So it feels like you're talking to them. And I know I hate to feel like I'm interacting with a real person and then later find out that I was interacting with a bot. It makes me feel really stupid.
Yeah. And it makes you feel like they don't care very much.
Yeah. So I get that when you...
Because also they know they are getting the notifications in their DMs. They know that you're interacting with a bot and they don't care to stop you. Like they... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, right? They know you're talking to a bot. Like,
so I love AI for some things. And I think that that does have a place. But I also think that you have to be really careful about overusing it. So that
I agree.
Your technology doesn't make you sound impersonal.
I agree. Another thing Taylor does great is she creates and rewards fan loyalty. So a lot of you know, she hasn't been doing this for the Eras tour, but she used to do meet and greets after every single show on her tours. And there would be like a special room where if you were invited to go to the meet and greet. The thing I loved about the meet and greets was it wasn't something where it's like, you can buy a $1,000 meet and greet pass, because then it would just be all the fans who have money are like, okay, we'll do that. It was Taylor's mom and team would actively go out and hand pick audience members to meet Taylor after the show.
Oh, that's super cool.
Like, hand pick them. And a lot of people will say that people who were picked before will say, yeah, they look for people who they really went all out with their outfits, or they just look like they're having the best time, even during the openers, even before Taylor even goes on stage. They're actively being nice and talking to other people. And then also, Taylor sometimes would handpick people herself that she saw on social media were going to be at the show, and she would send her team to go find them in the audience and tell them that they get to meet Taylor after the show. So she used to do these meet and greets, and it was, again, so personal, because that's Taylor's mom, that's Taylor, that's Taylor's team handpicking these people. It's not just, oh, highest bidder gets to go meet Taylor. It's
right.
They're watching you, and they're rewarding you for being a good person, a nice fan, someone who's having a good time. And then she also used to do secret sessions, which she hasn't done in a long time, but I could see her maybe doing it again, where she would handpick big fans to literally come to her house and listen to her new album early. And she would do things like bake cookies and have like a little drink bar set up and take photos with fans, and they would just sit in her living room and listen to the new album before it ever came out.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So, like, if she did this, do you think maybe she could start it up again from Travis Kelce's home in Kansas? Because that would be super cool, since it's not very far from my house. Maybe she could, you know, pick me.
Yeah, that would be really cool. That's what I'm saying. Maybe we'll find out that she's going to do it for... Well, I was going to say maybe she'll do it for the new album, but she'll still be on tour. I don't think she's done it since Reputation or Lover, because I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that. But yeah, she would invite fans to her house. And obviously, for your own content creation, I'm not saying go and invite your followers to your house. But like,
no, we are not saying that.
Exactly. I'm not saying that. But like, how can you make people feel special like that too? And then we talked about this a little bit earlier, but she actively watches fans' TikTok videos and comments on them and likes them. And then she used to be really heavily active on the website Tumblr, and she would comment on people's posts and repost them and do all sorts of stuff like that. She used to find fans that were live on Instagram or something and join the live stream and just be like, hey, girl. Like, and just like be like, just do stuff
out
like that. She used to do that all the time. So she's so good at rewarding her big fans for supporting her, because she realizes that their support is why she is where she is right now. And she rewards that. So I think just thinking about how you can create and implement fan loyalty and reward them within your own brand.
And so my two takeaways on this one would be the commenting on fans' TikToks, for example. We all should be commenting on our followers' content anyway. And remember that social media is supposed to be social. So that's part of being social on social media, is connecting with people, not because you want anything from them, but because you're trying to build relationships. So that's number one takeaway. And then just a practical marketing application for creating rewards and fan loyalty. If you have a membership, or if you have a Patreon or something like that, you can do stuff like that. Those are your people, your core people, if they're paying to belong in your membership. So give them offers that are over and above. Give them extra stuff. Give them first access to whatever. Maybe they get to hear your podcast a day early. Maybe they hear your podcast ad-free. Whatever it is, when you release something, give them something so that they feel like they're getting... Maybe it is the after-talk, like you let them in on the banter that goes on before and after you hit record, or the part that you actively include in your podcast or your live. It could be any of those things, but those are simple ways that we can create and reward fan loyalty.
Yeah. And then just going off of that, another one that came to mind when you were saying that is doing like subscriber only live streams, or
yeah.
I know on TikTok, when you have subscribers, you can do live streams where only people who are subscribers can comment in the chat. And so like just things like that to reward people for being loyal and being fans and wanting to be a part of what you're doing. Another one that I think Taylor is really great at is she has inside jokes with her fans. So this is another way that she makes everything feel really personal and makes you feel really connected to her. But the first one that comes to mind to me is the Know It's Becky shirt, where if you don't know, this was something that happened in the original 1989 era. There was a Tumblr post where somebody had posted, and they were clearly joking, but they had posted an old picture of Taylor Swift, like in middle school or high school or something. And it was like, it basically, I'm not going to say the whole thing, but it was basically like, this is my friend Becky. She did drugs and then she died. And then somebody quote tweeted it or whatever it was on Tumblr and was like, I'm pretty sure that's a picture of Taylor Swift. And the person responded, no, that's Becky. Or no, it's Becky. And then Taylor Swift was spotted out and about in a t-shirt that said, no, it's Becky. Like, it's just little things like that. Just like having these inside jokes that are funny that only, you know, that... And it doesn't even have to be like jokes, but just like little inside things. It's like, oh, you're not a Swiftie, you wouldn't get it. It's just things that make the whole community come together because it's something that you can only understand when you know all the lore, right?
Right. And that's my favorite kind of humor anyway. Like whenever we go to a comedy show or even when your family gets together for a holiday and people start riffing off each other. Funniest jokes are always the ones where you have to know the inside story, where if somebody was just a friend who was not part of your close-knit family and they came over for dinner, they'd be completely lost on the joke. To me, those are the funniest kinds of comedy anyway.
The jokes that are built on a story that you've all been telling for 10 years the exact same way, but everyone adds one detail every time that makes everyone, you know, sit on the floor and laugh until they cry. And then somebody's brand new boyfriend is like, what is going on right now? Or, you know, like it's that kind of joke that's like so funny, I feel like.
Like in my family, we have the story about how I bit a hole in my brother's back. And then every time we get together, my brother Chad adds on a new detail that is so far from the truth. And everybody knows it's not the truth. And I'm going to start laughing so hard I cry again just telling it. But anyway. It's just funny to us.
Well, my favorite part about what even just what you just said is when this story first started being told, it wasn't you bit a hole in his back. It was just that you bit him. And it's even evolved so much that now it's like he likes to be like, and she took a chunk out of my back and they needed to perform surgery. And you know, like it gets so much more dramatic every time the story gets told. But all
and
this
it gets
to say,
funnier every time because it we does, don't know it.
It does. But all this to say, just like inside jokes and inside stories of like, oh, you had to be there or it's a Swiftie thing. You wouldn't understand. Or, I mean, you would only understand if you were there when it happened. Like, you know, all of these things, just inside jokes, inside stories that make everything feel really personal. And then this is one that she does so well. She creates mystery and intrigue surrounding her brand. So we all know that Taylor Swift loves a good Easter egg. She loves a good hint that's sometimes it's hidden in plain sight and it's so obvious, but sometimes it kind of goes back to that inside joke kind of thing where it's like,
or knowing the lore.
Yeah, you have to know the lore. It's like, well, remember that time that she did this at 12:30 p.m. on a Tuesday? What are the odds that she did this at 12:30 on a Tuesday, 12 years, like, you know, just like so, such random things. But she does such a good job where she's made it so everyone is with a fine tooth comb going through every single thing she does. And they're looking at really closely at everything she does. Everything she posts is important because it could be a clue, right? And so she creates these Easter eggs and there's hints and there's underlying meanings. And sometimes there's not, but sometimes there is underlying meanings in Easter eggs. But the point is, she's done such a great job of just creating this mystery and this intrigue around her brand. So anytime she posts, people are like, what does it mean?
Yeah, I love that she does that. And I think that the inside jokes and the mystery and intrigue are related to your next one, which is she uses storytelling. And she wouldn't be able to do any of these things as effectively if she didn't use storytelling, because that's how she gets you in. That's how she catches you. That's how she makes you want to be a part of, I don't know.
Of all of them, it.
Do you call it Swiftie Nation? What do we call? Just that makes you want to be a Swiftie. Taylor Nation. There we go.
It makes you want to be part of Taylor Nation to be a Swiftie. But yeah, and that's, and you, just using storytelling in general, that's something I've always, always loved about her music, is it's so heavily story focused. And that's why so many people can relate to it, because sometimes she just says the most specific thing and you're like, wow, I didn't know anybody else felt that way. And it makes, like how we talked about earlier, it makes you feel seen and heard. It makes you feel validated. In a way, she's almost like a big sister to some people, which is crazy because we've never met her. But when she gets vulnerable, it makes you feel like you can get vulnerable too. And it makes this connection between her and her fans that is not so easily broken.
And I think we've all seen examples of this. Maybe you've been to a conference. Maybe it's when you were in college or high school. And if somebody's trying to teach you something, I could be a professor and stand up there and spout off 500 facts. Or I could tell you a story and you're going to remember the important details much better than if I just was up there writing boring junk on the board, you know, if I was just spouting off facts. And so everything she does is so memorable because it's tied up in a story.
Exactly. And then our last one that we have on our list is that she shakes off criticism. So, you know, in her own words, she knows the haters are going to hate. So she's just going to shake it off.
Yes. And we have seen so much of that throughout the Eras tour, but especially with the whole Travis Kelce thing, where she is
dad's
under a microphone.
Brads. Yes. The dads, the Brads and the Chads just
that's
need
right.
to, that they just think that, well, and that's another thing that I love is just that in that Time magazine article, when she called them the dads, the Brads and the Chads, I was like, exactly. I was like, that's exactly what they are, Taylor. Anyway, continue what you were going to say. I just
no, but that's my point, is that she knows she is under the microscope. While all these baby whiners are complaining about how the NFL puts her on television too much, and she's like, that camera is so far away, I don't know when I'm on camera and when I'm not. And I think she goes about her life knowing that everybody is watching her all the time. And I mean, what fun would that be to have to be not yourself because you're afraid of being scrutinized constantly for every little thing you do? And so that's one thing I love about her, is that she's just kind of like, you know what? I'm here to support my man. I'm here to support my boyfriend. I'm here to watch a football game. And I don't really care if you care that I'm on TV too much, because I'm here doing what I came to do, which was support my boyfriend.
Yeah, well, and she, like you said, she just knows that people are going to hate on her whether she does something or whether she doesn't. The people who, and this is true about anyone in life, the people who want to be a hater and want to hate you are going to find something wrong with what you're doing no matter what you're doing. So you might as well just do whatever you want to do.
Well, and so another example is you were featured in a number of national news media about your Super Bowl party. And on several of those posts, there were, again, just haters who got in the comments. And there was somebody who was like, I can't believe that grown women are sitting around making friendship bracelets, like grow up, or whatever their snotty comment was. And it's like, we should know that as content creators, that you're going to get that kind of criticism. But what's been beautiful about what you've done with all the Taylor Swift stuff is this is you. You love Taylor Swift. You love to have parties. You love to host. You were going to do all of this stuff, whether or not Bloomberg and Nightline wanted to talk to you. So it's authentic. You have to shake it off.
Exactly. Well, and I was going to do it whether or not I posted about it, but I might as well post about it if I'm going to do it anyway. Right. And you just have to not care what the haters say, because I've built such a beautiful community of people who do care and do like what I'm doing, that a few haters, it's whatever, because it's not about me. what they're saying to me in my comments is about them. It's a reflection of them.
That is so true.
It's not about me. There's something going on in their own life where they have to find something wrong with everything. Anyone, like, it's not even just about on my things. It's like there's something going wrong in someone else's life when they need to find a reason to hate on everything somebody else is doing. Yeah, it's not about me. And I think Taylor knows that too. It's not about her. It's about whoever's making the comments. Like, and with the dads, brides, and chads, I know we're going on such a tangent, but with the dads, brides, and chads thing, I'm like, if it's bothering you so much that somebody else is just living their life, you might need to turn the TV off and go take a little break for your mental health. If it's really and that's what I think when people comment on my posts too, and they're like, oh, I hate this. I'm like, if it's really affecting you so much, it might be time to turn the phone off and take a little break. I mean that so genuinely. If it's really affecting you that much, it's time to take a break.
But another funny one is all the people that will comment, I don't like all this Taylor Swift content. And you're like, well, stop interacting with the content and it will stop showing up in your feed. The algorithm is smart that way.
That's my favorite thing is when they're like, why? I love when they specifically say, why does this show up in my feed all the time? And I'm like, that's because you comment on it or you like it or you watch it. It's not, I think sometimes it's not even you comment on it. It's like you sit there and you hate watch the entire video. And when you watch enough of a video, it tells the algorithm that you like that video because why else would you watch the whole thing? Right. So it's not even, sometimes it's not even that you're commenting on it. It's that you sit there and you watch the whole video. So the algorithm's like, oh, they must like that.
Another thing, as we've gone through these 8 things that make Taylor Swift a great marketer, and I'm sure that people could add another 8 or 10 more. I mean, she is a brilliant, brilliant businesswoman. But as I'm looking at what we said, a lot of these also apply to your personal life and your personal happiness. Being vulnerable, being willing to share your feelings, communicating, making people feel like you are talking directly to them and that they're seen and heard. Having inside jokes with your friends, telling stories with each other and shaking off criticism. I mean, those are all great personal lessons too.
Well, and even the creating and rewarding fan loyalty, like with your friends and family, showing up for the people who show up for you and making sure they know that you value that they're spending their time and their energy on you. I think that one as well. And then shaking off the criticism. I don't know if you said that one, obviously. Yeah, but so many of these, yeah, they are marketing lessons and they can be applied to social media and content creation, but they also are just, like you said, great things to apply to your everyday life.
Okay, so I am excited to roll into our podcast for our next episode also, because the Super Bowl was a big deal. I mean, Abby grew up in Kansas City, where I live in Kansas City. We're from Kansas City. We have been Chiefs fans way before Taylor started dating Travis.
Way before the Chiefs were even a good team to root for. Like,
right. So I'm excited about this next thing because it was a really big deal in our town. And Abby just really kicked butt on everything surrounding the Super Bowl for her personal brand. I mean, she had great ideas. She followed through. She built a mailing list for her personal brand off this event. And she just did so many things right. And so I'm excited just to talk to all of you, to you, our audience, and share some of those really cool things that happened during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it too. I could talk about Taylor Swift all day, every day, and I could talk about Kansas City all day, every day, and I could talk about content creation all day, every day. So this next episode, prepare to be sick of me.
Well, and because we keep talking about things related to how do you become an influencer? How do you start to make money off of your ideas and the fun things that you like to do? And so we're going to show the audience exactly how you did it.
Yeah. So make sure you follow the podcast, follow us on Instagram at the Digital Dreamer Podcast, and look out for that episode coming out next week.
Oh, and if you are new to us, maybe you found us through the Swiftie Bowl, we should probably explain, for if you don't know, that I am Abby's mom And we decided to do a podcast together a couple years ago during the pandemic.
Yeah. And it's very fun. I love doing this podcast with my mom. And also, we should mention, if you need any Taylor Swift football merch, we have that on our Etsy store. I feel like I always forget to mention that, but we have a lot of great Swifty Super Bowl and Swifty football merch and just Swifty merch in general on our Etsy store. So definitely check that out too. Expressions by Iris.
All right. With that, we're going to wrap it up. If you have any comments or questions, reach out to us on social media and we would love to talk to you.
All right. Bye, guys.